Let me bring you a reading, which is going to be from Matthew 18, 21 to 35. And after that, Ed's going to come up and bring us our message for today. And he's also going to tell us a little bit about what's going on in Easingwold at his church, which would be great. So we are Matthew 18, starting at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the King of Heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay everything back.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, for how it can impact so much in our lives. Father, as we hear from Ed now, we pray that you would speak into our hearts and your spirit would work in us and change us more into your likeness. Amen.
Oh, thank you for having me with you this afternoon. It's a real joy to come and share fellowship with you this afternoon. Brian and Kay Hendlesby would want me to send lots of love. It's such a joy having them with us up at Hope Church Easingwold. They're still remarkably well in the Lord, still full of thanks, still eager to make Jesus known every day in the coffee shop. And if you can remember Brian and Kay from their time here and think, "Oh, we'd love to catch up with them," I'm sure they'd love to see you if you came and popped into their coffee shop up in Easingwold. They have such a blessing to us. Thank you for having us. We've got Phil over at Hope Church this afternoon and you've got me here. But it's thank you so much for praying for us. So Hope Church has been going for nearly 2 years now. We were a church plant from Grace Church, Borough Bridge. We're still a small gathering, about 20 to 25 on a Sunday, typically with four children. Those are my four children. So, but we are in good heart. We had a holiday club back at Easter where we had 33 children across the week, across the 3 days of that. We've got a light party coming up on the 31st of October. That we're hoping we'll see a number of children and families along too. And so please pray that God will be opening doors as we seek to reach out to families. Please also be praying for, talking about opening doors, a 75-year-old lady called Liz and I now go out once a week doing door-to-door outreach. And so as well as praying for outreach through the coffee shop, please pray for Liz and I as we go out each week. We had some wonderful conversations just a week ago on the door. Of course, some people not interested, but really praying that the Lord would bring those whom he is drawing to himself. And so it's exciting to be part of that. We're small. In many ways, we could be discouraged, but we see that the Lord works through small things like a tiny mustard seed, and he grows great trees from them. And so we hold on to that in faith. This afternoon, we're going to we're thinking about forgiveness, has been said, and our text is that line from the Lord's Prayer. So, if you just flick back slightly into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, in a gathering of this size, that there will be some who know what it is to be in debt. There'll be some here who know that pressure, that daily pressure of the end of the month's coming. There's not enough money. How are we going to provide, put food on the table? We'll know that dread when the post comes in, the letters hit the doormat, and you just can't quite bring yourself to open this third demand, final demand, payment due now. If you don't pay, we'll take away the television, we'll come and repossess the home. And just a sense of how on earth am I getting out of this trouble? It's a horrible thing to be in a position of debt. If you've not been there, then be thankful to God. But there will be some who know all too well that pressure. Well, that's the position that we are pictured in before God. In the prayer Jesus teaches us to pray, we are to pray, forgive us our debts. Before God, we are debtors. And from that story then that we had read from Matthew 18, there's a story of a servant who owes... I think it was 10,000 talents or 10,000 bags of gold. If you look at the footnote in the NIV, it says that each talent or bag of gold was the equivalent of 20 years' wages. 10,000 times 20 years' wages, you're looking at 200,000 years of a labourer's wages. In modern money, that would be something like £6 billion, but what on earth does £6 billion mean? I think that the amount of time is more helpful. 200,000 years. So if you had been started working when Jesus was walking the earth, and you'd worked, you know, full-time work for the last 2,000 years, and you'd not spent a penny to feed yourself during that time and had saved all of it, then you're 1/100th of the way there. It's an unimaginable debt. I don't know how he got into this much debt, but certainly it's a hole that he's not going to climb out of very easily. And this isn't just some out there theoretical sinner. This is the normal disciple. This is the picture of you and me before God. Unimaginable debt. And I don't know... I sometimes find that when I'm praying, forgive us our debts, I can sort of scratch my head. And some days, of course, I'm very aware of my sin. But some days I think, I've not been that bad, you know. A couple of days ago I said something I shouldn't have said, but today's been all right. And I wonder if it's just helpful. I think it'll be helpful for us to think through just the three big words the Bible uses for our debts. They are iniquity, transgression, and sin. And to just try and learn what we can about how those add to our debt before God and how they're wiped away before we then come to think of those who are indebted to us. Iniquity. I don't know if any of you sometimes get a brown letter, brown envelope off on the favourite envelope of the Her Majesty's Tax and Revenue Service. Often it's a tax bill, you owe money. Most of our tax is from, because we've earned some money, and so we then pay a share of that. Our iniquity is a bit like an inheritance tax bill. It's taxed not based on what you've done, but what your forefathers have done. Iniquity is something we inherit from our father Adam. To change the image completely, I don't know if you've ever seen lawn bowls or carpet bowls. It's surprisingly compelling. I love the way they chase after their ball all the way. Like, if they whisper to it sweetly, it might change it. But these balls have a bias. They're not round. So it's flatter on one side and more curved on the other. And it will assuredly go towards that bias. Every time it's rolled, it will veer off course towards that bias. That's our iniquity. Our hearts are drawn towards evil. And so, if you don't believe me, set yourself the challenge. This week, keep a notebook of every unkind thought, untruthful word you've said every time, and just try not to, and just see how you get on. You'll find that bias pulls you away and to self-seeking thoughts, to unkind words again and again. That's our iniquity. We've inherited it from our father, Adam. David, in his great prayer of confession, Psalm 51, says, "In iniquity was I conceived and brought forth into this world in sin." He doesn't say, "Look, those toddlers, they're so lovely and innocent." No, I think David had some children. He knew that toddlers weren't lovely and innocent. I've got four of them. They are lovely, but not one of my children has been innocent. I haven't had to teach them to lie and to cheat and to hurt one another. That's come naturally. Our iniquity. We've inherited this, turned towards sin and away from God from our first father, Adam. And it's striking that for David, that isn't then a reason that I'm off the hook. I'm off the hook. I was born in sin. It's not my fault, God. No, for David, that was a thing to confess to God. I found that helpful as I've tried to pray all through the summer. We did a series through the Lord's Prayer through the summer. And I found it helpful as I tried to pray this prayer each day. Forgive us our debts. Actually, part of that debt is the way my heart is naturally inclined towards evil. To confess that bent of my heart, that's been helpful for me. Just to be clear, it's not that God has made us sinful, but that just as Adam chose sin, he was our representative. He chose exactly what we would have done and what we do choose day after day, our iniquity. I went to Leeds for a day at the cricket. Great fun. First day of the Ashes test. I got a present when I got back to my car. I thought I'd been so clever. I know there's a park and stride close to Headingley, but actually the road's right next to that. You can park on free of charge. I'd learned that the year before. I parked about two roads over from where I'd parked the year before, and I obviously didn't read the signs because you couldn't park on that road. So I got this, a fixed penalty notice. This is for my transgression. Transgression is breaking the rules. And I think, for me, that's the one I default to when thinking, forgive us our debts. I think, well, what have I done wrong today? It's a good thing to think of. That is part of our sin. That is transgression. And the truth is, whether you knew that you couldn't park on that street or whether you didn't know, the rule is there and you pay. Some people have been to those really posh places. I have been to one of these really posh places where you get the don't walk on the grass signs. There's some knowing giggles there. We all walk on the grass, don't we? That's our iniquity comes out there. We can't help when we know what we shouldn't do. But more seriously, we all know that God's word says, do not steal. And yet when times are hard, and we think, actually, nobody's going to know, and I need this, we can do what we know is wrong. That's transgression. We all know that God's word says, do not gossip. And yet when we're hurt by the words of another, how easy is it? Just that biting response just comes out of our mouth. That's transgression. We know it's wrong, and yet we go against what we know God says is good. God's word says, be completely humble and gentle. We think about, no, I know better. Or I'm going to choose when it's right, when the person deserves humility and gentleness from me, and when they don't. Our debt piles up before God. Not just our iniquity, our natural bias towards evil, that inheritance tax we owe, but also the fixed penalty notices of our transgression again and again. Forgive us our debts, Lord. And then there's sin. So iniquity, transgression, and sin. Sin is like our rent arrears. Okay, so if you get behind on your rent, your debt piles up before your landlord. Well, the rent for living in God's world that he has made with all the good gifts he's given us is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Sin literally means to miss the mark, to fall short. So I take aim with my bow and arrow in archery, and yet my arm, I haven't been in the gym enough, they're not strong enough, the arrow falls pathetically short of the mark. That's sin. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. I want to do that, don't you? And yet I know day by day, my love is half-hearted. My love is like the morning mist. It seems impressive in the morning, then it just vanishes. Do we truly delight in God as we open his word each day? Is it our joy and we clinging, show me more of yourself, Lord? Or do we simply do it out of a duty, thinking that will earn us some credit with God? Hopefully it's more the former, but sometimes it strays into the latter, doesn't it? Are we pursuing God with all our heart all the time? I know that's not me all the time. And so the debt piles up. We've not given God the full rent he is due. And so as we pray, forgive us our debts, we think of our natural bent towards evil, that's our iniquity. We think of our transgressions, where we've done what we know is wrong. And we think of our sin, where we've fallen short of the standard God has given us. And where we end up is owing 200,000 years worth of wages. In other words, owing a debt that we could never possibly repay. But I haven't come here this afternoon to beat us up and to give us bad news. Actually, I've come with the most wonderful good news. We can pray with confidence, forgive us our debt, because God is a God who forgives debt and who delights to. In the story, the servant who fell on his knees, he wasn't asking the master to forgive his debt. He was only asking for more time. Give me time and I'll pay back everything. I don't know how, but he thought he could. And the master had took pity on him. He had compassion. And he cancelled the debt. Well, God revealed himself to Moses on the mountain as the people have just made a golden calf. He's brought the people out of Egypt. He's brought them to himself. They've committed themselves to him in covenant, saying, yes, we'll do everything you say, Lord. And then, while Moses is getting the written form of these commandments, they go and make a golden calf and start bowing down to it. And God reveals himself to Moses when Moses pleads for the people. God forgives them. And then God shows Moses his glory. And what is his glory? It is this. I am the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. The glory of God is that he is the God who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. How? By sending his Son. The Lord Jesus was born as a man. And yet he was abnormally born because he was born to a virgin by the Holy Spirit. And so he didn't pick up inheritance tax owed by his father. He had no iniquity in him. He didn't have that same heart that just longs what is evil. Yes, he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. So he never picked up the fixed penalty notice of his transgression because he always withstood. And he's the only person who's never got behind in his rent to God. He said, Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world, and before the foundation of the world, the Son loved the Father. Always, through every day of his life as a man on earth, he loved his Father with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, all his strength. Jesus owed no debt. And yet, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And the Lord made him an offering for sin. It's all there in Isaiah 53. Transgressions laid on this suffering servant. Iniquities, he's crushed for them. He's made an offering for sin. Our debt is all paid by the Lord Jesus when he hung on the cross. It's paid in full, says Jesus. I have paid in my blood. And so, he teaches his disciples, pray with confidence, forgive us our debts. Because, says Jesus, I will pay them. Or now, this side of the cross, I have paid them. In full. Perhaps you know the pressure of mounting debt before God. Perhaps sometimes when people are in debt, they try to take out a new credit card to pay off their old debt, and we can act like this with God. Okay, I know I've got some debt, but I'll do some good stuff. And I'll make up for it. I'll live a week where I'm not doing that stuff anymore. I will make it up to you, God. Maybe you're trying that, or maybe you've come to the realization that that is crushing, that we can never repay that debt. Excuse me. Maybe it gets to that point where you don't even open the letters anymore, because you know that God's word will condemn. It will put its finger on that sin, and so I don't want to hear it. I know I owe a debt and I cannot pay. Well, I'm here this afternoon to say, yes, we have a great debt that we can never repay. But actually, as we read on in God's word, we have a letter we were never expecting. Jesus says, I have paid. You are forgiven, set free. So we pray with confidence, Father, forgive us our debts. Because God is the God who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He's the God who is full of grace and compassion and abounding in steadfast love. And so don't go on feeling that pressure of debt before God. Come and ask him today, Father, forgive my debt. He sent his Son to die for you. He delights to wash away all our sin. That great prayer, Psalm 51, David opens with these words. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. We can pray those with confidence because God is the God who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. In that story we heard from Matthew 18, that this servant who's forgiven this 200,000 years of wages debt, he goes out and finds another servant who owes him about 3 months' wages. And the servant begs him, just as he's begged his master, say, you know, give me time and I'll pay it back. And he says, no, you wicked servant, you will go to prison until you pay the last penny. When his master finds out what he's done, he's horrified. You wicked servant, you were forgiven this huge, humongous, unimaginable debt. Should you not have had compassion as I showed you compassion? And as we read the Lord's Prayer, that same dynamic is there. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And a bit just after the prayer where there's this condition. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know how you feel about a condition like that in Scripture. It can make us feel slightly uneasy, can't it? I thought we were saved by grace, not by works. Do I need to forgive others to receive forgiveness? It sounds like we need to earn it. It does sound a bit like that. I want to be clear, we do not earn our forgiveness. Let's suppose that the servant who owed the 200,000 year debt did forgive the 3 month debt. Is he now worthy of being forgiven a 200,000 years of wages debt? No, he doesn't come close to earning it. It's not a condition of merit, but it remains a real condition. And I think it's because it shows our heart. If we will not forgive others when they hurt us, then actually it shows that we do not love the God who delights to forgive. So the big question really is, do you love Christ, the gracious and compassionate one? Do you love God, who gave his son for you? Because if you really love him who loves to forgive wickedness, transgression, and sin, then we will long to show his heart. And that's not an easy thing to do. And a great prayer to pray is, Holy Spirit, please help me to forgive my brother or sister. It's not an easy thing when we are wronged, when we're hurt, particularly by people who are dear to us, people in church, people who we should have protected us and they've harmed us. It is a difficult thing to forgive. But the Holy Spirit delights to help us to come to a point where we can forgive like our Father in heaven. And he delights to change us and to change our hearts. So is there somebody in your life, perhaps somebody in the life of the church here, whom you need to forgive? Now, sometimes we say that we've forgiven and we kind of don't openly bring up the hurt, but we do avoid that person. And they come into the room, we'll just make sure we go to the other side of the room. There's nothing open, there are no harsh words in return, but there's a breakdown in that relationship. Or we're happy to pray through members of the church, but we perhaps don't pray for that member, that God would really pour out his blessing on them. So we can have the semblance of peace when there's no real, when actually there's bitterness in our heart. Is there somebody whom the Holy Spirit is calling you to forgive today? It's striking that as we pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What that means is if we have not forgiven those who have a debt to us, then we are asking God not to forgive us either. Forgive as we have forgiven. So if I have not forgiven, I am asking, Father God, please do not forgive me. That is a sobering thought, isn't it? Well, our God is full of steadfast love and compassion. He delights to forgive, and he delights to move our hearts that we can come to forgive like him. So if you are struggling to forgive a brother or sister, pray for God's help, and he will act. And also dwell on your great debt. Stop dwelling on the 3 months of wages that person owes you, and dwell some more on the 200,000 years of wages that you owed God our Father. Remember all that he has done for you. Rejoice in Christ's offering for you, and it will begin to move your heart that you too can forgive others. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the Lord, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. Father, we thank you that no cost was too large for you to pay for us. You gave the most precious thing this day. Beyond all of creation, you gave your Son for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you willingly laid down your life for us, that we might be cleansed from our iniquity, that our transgressions might be paid for, that our sin could be washed away. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Move our hearts at your great gift. And Father, shape your church that we would be a place where reconciliation happens, where true forgiveness, where there is lasting peace. Lord, we know we'll hurt one another again and again. Thank you for those who have forgiven us. Thank you that that flows from your forgiveness, and Lord, help us to show that forgiveness by the power of your Holy Spirit. And in the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.